Give it up for our next generation. Man, it's super easy to get excited about the next gen when you work really closely with them like I do. But there's a better reason to get excited about the next generation. And I think it's because God is excited about the next generation. He's demonstrated this to us through Jesus, right? You guys remember Matthew 19, 14. People are trying to bring their kids to Jesus. The disciples are like, get these kids away from Jesus. He said, hey, let the little children come to me, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. But just the chapter before that, he said, unless your heart becomes like a child, you won't be able to enter the kingdom of heaven. God values children. He also values teenagers and young adults. Most scholars believe that the disciples were between the ages of 13 and 30. That means that Jesus took a youth group and some young adult volunteers and changed the world. And we're here today because of what they did. Amen. Think about it. He started a revolution of the gospel of the kingdom. He told them, hey, greater things than what I do and greater you're going to do. And then they became the leaders of the nascent church. And a third of the world today are Christians because they completed the mission that Jesus gave them. I've got to be honest. Sometimes I ask myself, do we have that much conviction and belief in the next generation as Jesus did? I want to tell you that Oak Hills is taking deliberate steps to empower the next generation of leaders. And in fact, I've had the privilege to work with four leaders that I get to introduce you all to today. And they are an example of what it looks like to jump right into our mission of disciple making, being disciples who make disciples. So could you please put your hands together for Braxton Rizzo, Bryant Driscoll, Chris Ferguson, and Emmy Porter. I think we've got some things we can learn from them today. Braxton, you are like the poster child for Oak Hills. You've been here like from birth till just recently graduating high school. You've done all of our milestones, from baby blessing all the way through senior celebration. I wanted to ask you, what have you experienced here at Oak Hills that's encouraged you to not only be a disciple, but start making disciples? Because right now you're serving in student ministries, leading our eighth grade boys. So you're literally living our mission.
Yeah, so as Ramin said, I've had the privilege of getting to grow up in Oak Hills my whole life and to do all the fun milestones they have as you go through your grade school years. And one thing I've really realized through doing all those milestones is how important a Christ community surrounding you is in your walk with Jesus. So a little bit about me and how I came to know Christ. I was blessed with two amazing parents who, from the second I was born, put me in Bible land, took me to church, and just filled my life with God. But I feel like through elementary school, I just never really grasped the concept of church. It was always just something we went to on Sundays, got dressed up for, and heard him talk about someone named God, but I never really got who he was. That was until Agape Trail, the end of your fifth grade year, and then middle school youth group, when I first started to really feel a love for God and realize who he was. And also around that time is when I first started getting involved in youth group, and having a community where I could go be myself and worship God was huge. So all throughout middle school, really grew with Christ, was attending every youth group event and just loved. Like, I felt so much love for the Lord. That was until spring of eighth grade year, COVID hit, all the churches shut down. So that ability to go every Wednesday and Sunday to go worship God and just have that community was taken away. And that's when I feel like I really grew distant from God, and he just wasn't at the forefront of my life anymore. So fast forward to start of freshman year, me and my family decided to come back to the Oak Hills main campus. We'd gone to the North Central campus since I was like six. So coming into a whole new environment, bigger church, my parents asked me if I wanted to try youth group. And over COVID, I had grown like socially anxious and just did not really want to try new things. So when they asked me, I was like, no, I'm good. I'm good just going to Sundays here, and I don't need to try youth group. But like, as I said, God blessed me with two amazing parents who pretty much told me, you're going to try it once. If you don't like it, you don't have to go, but you're going to try it. And that is one of the greatest things they've ever done for me in my life, is making me try that youth group. That first day I walked in, I immediately felt at home. And over the next couple of months, that relationship and that love for Christ I had came back, and it was really starting to just grow. So anyways, summertime rolls around, and all my friends are asking me, are you going to camp? And I was a homebody and never really been away from my parents for more than 1 or 2 days. So the thought of driving 13 hours for a week in New Mexico with some people I don't know for a couple of months, I was like, there ain't no way. There's no way. But God really tugged on my heart and ended up, after some praying and convincing from friends, I ended up taking a leap of faith and signing up for camp. And that week was one of the single greatest weeks of my life. That is where I gave my life to Christ and decided to be his disciple and follow him. And I got baptized when I got back from that camp.
Woo!
Yeah, that's not the only thing God did at that camp for me. He also gave me relationships with the leaders and friends that went to that camp. Little did I know those relationships for the next 4 years of my life and on to this day would be some of the most impactful relationships I've ever had. They were the people that were there for me through all the good, the bad, the struggles, the temptations that you face growing up in high school and just growing up in your teenage years. In Proverbs 27:17, it says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. That's exactly what Christ put this group in my life to do. They sharpened me and helped me grow with him. So back to Roman's question on why I really felt called to lead the eighth graders. It was definitely because of the impact that this student ministry had on me and on my friends' relationships. I really felt called to help foster those same relationships in our eighth grade boys and our youth group in general, and just hope to lead them to follow Christ and get to know him more. Also, is Matthew 28:19. Therefore, go out and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Christ tells us that our job's not finished when we give our life to him. We then therefore commanded to go make disciples and spread his love to all and let everyone know about his amazing grace. And I feel like he's not only giving me the opportunity to do that with the eighth grade boys, but helping me equip those eighth grade boys with going out into their schools and making disciples and spreading his love to everywhere, you know? And yeah, working with eighth grade is a lot of fun. They get wild sometimes, but I love every second of it.
Bro, we've heard some stories about Braxton when he was in there, so we're just paying him back, giving him a little, bit of payback, putting him with eighth graders. Can you give Braxton a hand? Bryant, you have also dove headfirst straight into serving here at Oak Hills Church. You work in the nursery at Bible Land. I saw you at Agape Trail Weekend. You're working with our incoming sixth graders and students, and you're a regular presence at our young adult services. What has God done in your heart that's developed such a servant's heart in you?
God's done a lot in my heart to develop a servant's heart, but I would say a lot of it has been in the last year. We just moved down from Oregon a year ago, and I was like, faced with the decision, do I get upset that I miss all my friends and I don't get to spend my senior year with my friends, or do I trust that God has a plan for me and that he's guiding me to Texas for a reason and that he has a church for me, friends? And I really just dove into that, and Oak Hills has really been that answer to that prayer, and I've been really blessed just to be here. And there's two things that I really love about Oak Hills. The first one is that there's kids my age. In the church I went to in Oregon, I was the only kid in my grade, so I felt kind of alone other than talking with the leaders. So it was really nice coming here and having a full small group just for senior guys that I've been able to, you know, make friends with and grow together. And it's also been a blessing for, now that I'm graduated, having young adults. It's been a really fun time just being able to hang out with the guys. And we also have like a group that plays pickleball on Mondays, and that's just been really fun to have community in Christ. And the other thing I really love is the worship here. I used to be a little timid and not like praising with my hands up in the air, but I've really gotten comfortable with God and that I'm praising him, and I don't have to care what other people think. They're probably just as nervous as I was, you know? So that was really just a blessing. And along that time, Reed was asking that we added the 11:30 service. Reed asked, hey, does anyone want to volunteer? And originally I was like, I don't really want to wake up early. It doesn't sound that fun. But I was just felt a tug from God to go out and volunteer. So I started helping the nursery. And I'm really glad I did. It was really fun. Definitely not staged photos. And we definitely had some fun times in there helping out with the kids. And I was just really glad to be able to be a part of that. And the nursery also connected me with the Agape Trail, which was the fifth graders going on sixth grade. And I was really blessed to be a part of that. It was cool seeing all those fifth graders who love God, worship and praise God, and just the relationships you build. And you'd have conversations with the fifth grade guys that you wouldn't really expect from fifth graders. And I was really blessed, and I wanted to continue to develop that relationship with them. So I talked to you and about leading them after I graduated, and little did I know, you were already planning on asking me. So it worked out pretty well.
Yeah.
And another thing I was really happy for is all the volunteers that showed up. You know, they sacrificed their weekend to spend time with fifth graders, and that really inspired me. Yeah. And it also reminded me of the Bible verse, Ephesians 6:7, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not people. And I feel like that really has impacted my life. You know, we're here for God, and it's not about us or the people around us. You know, we're doing this for God and showing his love to those around us. And another thing, like Braxton was saying, I love the camps. You know, it's had a big impact in my life, especially the summer camp. When the worship team would come up, 1,000 people would just rush the stage, and we'd have a giant mosh pit of worship, and it was really cool. I will never forget that. I haven't felt so close to my friends and God at the same time through that, and it just showed me, like, the power of community and worship, and it's made me want to help other people experience that. And I'm just glad I get to continue to do that and help other people experience it. I'm also really thankful for all the leaders God has put in my life, like you, Reed. And it's just shown me what God can do through people when they pour into other people, like you guys poured into me. And it makes me want to pour into others and just see what God has planned for my life.
Amen. And you're doing it. You're doing it with our sixth grade boys. Give it up for Bryant. Chris, you and I met as we were preparing to travel overseas for an international missions trip to Coventry, England. We know what it means to have 12-hour delays and sleep at an airport and have lodging changed at the end of the day. But you are kind of a recent transplant to Oak Hills. I'm curious, what has your time at Oak Hills Church done to encourage your heart and your walk with God?
Yeah, I mean, that missions trip truly completed my Christian walk. Now that I've done it, I know evangelism's not something that was simply a mandate from Christ, but something that we were made to do. Since I'm pretty new, I might as well introduce myself. Who am I, right? Get some backstory. I grew up in a non-denominational church pretty similar to this one here in San Antonio. I gave my life to the Lord at the age of 12 and was quickly baptized after that. I came to the realization that I knew what the Bible said. I knew God's offer. I knew that what the gospel said was true, and I knew the consequences of rejecting him. So on that car ride back from church one Sunday, as my family was talking and music was going on in the background, I made my decision to follow the Lord. My church was great. I love it still, and the people there. However, at 18, I looked around and realized that I was essentially alone. It was an older church, and while I had many friends growing up, as we got older and people moved away, that group shrunk. Until the young adults age group, once I turned 18, consisted of one other girl and me. A year later, I finally told my parents, "There's no future for me here at this church. They will always be there. They will always be my family and a place I can go back to on occasion to lend a helping hand, but I cannot grow here." Because they didn't want to split up the family, my parents told me, "Go out, sample all the young adults groups in San Antonio, bring back a few favorites, and we'll try out the Sunday services." Here I am. Woo. While I've been here, however, it's truly been a joy. If you ever see us in the lobby, say hi. We're a pretty distinct group, my family. You have me, 3 younger sisters, my dad in a wheelchair, and my mom. You guys have been a huge encouragement to us. I got to go on a missions trip. What is that about? How great is it, though, to serve, to give back what has been filled up in me because of you all at Oak Hills. I know some of you may or may not zone out when Travis or someone else on the team comes up and speaks about the call for radical generosity, or he talks about Serve Week for the 3rd Sunday in a row. But let me tell you, for my family, who had reached a mature, stable, if somewhat stagnant place in our household's walk with the Lord, seeing the executed vision from your leadership that aligns with what Jesus tells us to do and who he calls us to be. Wow. Luke chapter 12, verses 15. Then he said to them, "Watch out! Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." In Matthew chapter 6, verses 32 and 33, when Jesus is speaking about worrying over material things, clothes, food, he says, "For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." We have been reignited. I have been reignited since coming to Oak Hills. And man, is it encouraging to see others so enthusiastic about serving. The world out there only thinks about itself. How can this benefit me? We're not called to be like that. It really does drag to be around super selfish people. So I've been thinking, how much of a contrast should our lives be to the world when we're being generous, when we forgive? A very bitter person may look at our lives as Christians and say we're weak, that we're spineless. But you all know that when someone slights you, what's the easiest reaction? Anger, hate, retaliation. What is actually hard in those kinds of situations? Forgiveness, peace, and the big one, reconciliation. Proverbs chapter 24, verses 17 through 19 has a warning for us. Do not gloat when your enemy falls. When they stumble, do not let your heart rejoice. For the Lord will see and disapprove and turn his wrath away from them. Do not fret because of the evildoers or be envious of the wicked. 1 John chapter 4, 7 has an encouragement. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Love, my brothers and sisters in Christ, is an action word. You cannot love from afar. That is a lie of the world. Love is up close. And so, love one another, for God is love.
Amen. Amen. Give it up for Chris. And you'll believe me when I say this man was preaching up a storm when we were in England. You've seen a little bit of it. Emmy Porter, Emmy Ray of Sunshine, as we call you around student ministries. You have been our superstar intern with both students and young adults. You're a big part of what's happened in both of those ministries this summer. And you, for as young as you are, you've been serving in ministry for a long time and often in leadership positions. I want to ask you, why is it important to give the next generation a chance to lead, and how do we do that better?
Well, yes, I am so passionate about giving the next generation an opportunity to lead and to really transform their faith in that. I was given that opportunity when I was in high school to be a student leader in my youth group, and it completely transformed my life and my walk with the Lord for three big reasons. The first is that it calls you to live a life truly worthy of the calling of Christ. I grew up knowing, like, I'm a light to the world, maybe in my classroom or for people who aren't Christians. But as you become a leader and you step into that, even at church, I felt a responsibility and ownership in my faith to continue to grow deeper in the Lord, to really be his hands and feet everywhere that I am. Secondly, I really was poured into and discipled by amazing people who really taught me how God can use me, what my spiritual giftings are. And that is an absolute gift, to be on the receiving end of discipleship. It really grows your faith. And thirdly, serving is an absolute joy. And so I love serving in our kids, in our middle school, in our high school students. And I've loved serving all summer with you guys here at Oak Hills. I love our student ministry and our young adult programs. They are so intentional about calling our students and young adults up to leadership and urging them to really transform their lives to look like Christ. And I've seen this in a lot of ways, one of which is in Colombia. I was given the privilege to go last week to Colombia, South America with 10 other students and young adults. And it was beautiful to watch these students come out of their shell. They were in a new environment. It was often uncomfortable, but they were leading the way in games and activities and worship and teaching and just receiving what the Lord was doing there, leaning into hard conversations and really transforming moments for the kids that we were ministering to. But I also see that every week at Oak Hills. We have staff and volunteers pouring into so many of our students and young adults. There is a team of young adults who are equipped to be discussion leaders, to answer hard questions, to walk through life with the other young adults who come on a Tuesday night. After middle school camp, we had middle school students asking, how can I serve in Bible Land? How can I serve in downtown San Antonio? They are so on fire for what the Lord is doing, and they want to be a part of that. And that is so encouraging for me to see, and hopefully for all of us as a congregation. And Oak Hills does such a good job of giving them that opportunity to step into leadership roles, which is so important because it's biblical. And so in 1 Timothy 4, it says this: do not let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. And so for all my young people in the room, please know this: your youth does not disqualify you.
Amen.
No matter your Bible knowledge, your past experiences, your financial situation, what stage of life you're in, your youth does not disqualify you. And we see this all throughout the Bible. We have David, who was 17 when he defeated Goliath. Mary, 15 when she birthed the Savior of the world. And most of Jesus' disciples were all teenagers. God consistently uses younger people. Why? Because their hearts are truly surrendered to him. And so that is true for all of us in this room, that if your heart is truly surrendered and open to what God is doing, he will use you too. But the second part of this verse is just as important, and that is the call to be transformed into the image of Christ, to go forth and be an example in all of those areas of our life. And as a young generation, we are in a unique season. We connect with so many people, from attending a school to working a job, being in clubs, activities, sports. We go to coffee shops and restaurants and we shop, and we have a million and one forms of social media. And we are constantly connecting with people next to us and internationally. And we have an opportunity to be the light, to be an example of who they see, who a Christian is, who Christ is through us. But it doesn't discount the other generations too, because all of us have a unique season that we are in, and we should be leveraging that for the kingdom and glory of God. I am super passionate about pouring into younger students because they often don't see their spiritual giftings or how God can use them. And so if you're a part of an older generation, hear these two things. First, please encourage the youth around you. We live in a very insecure generation. We doubt ourselves. We're quick to discount what God can do through us. He can use anybody else in the world. Why would he use me? And so your comment or your text that just says, hey, this is how I see God moving in your life or through you, and this is your spiritual gifting, and you have so much potential for God's kingdom, goes so far. And secondly, discipleship is key. Being discipled was a beautiful experience in my life, calling me to more, calling me to live authentically for Christ. And if you can disciple and intentionally pour into youth around you, you will be creating the leaders of this upcoming generation.
Yeah.
I am passionate about this generation, and I know Oak Hills is too. So partner with us as we transform them into the leaders that God will use. Thank you.
Amen. Give it up for Emmy. Woo! Man, can we give it up for the whole panel?